And one of the things of the process of healing, and it's the process that you and I must go through. And so many times people, as God begins to reveal their issues, they run. You know, the fear comes up, the walls come up, and the demons show up, you know. And what's happening, the demons have been there, they just happen to pop up because they're being exposed. Amen? Amen? And so many of us have come forth from different areas of life. You know, many of us have touched unclean things and so forth. We've done all kinds. The whole thing is that every one of us at one time or another, we serve Satan, willingly or unwillingly. Amen? And so by yielding and worshiping and serving Satan, we got ourselves involved in what we call occultism. And now there are open occultisms and secret occultisms. I mean, there are religious organizations, so-called religious organizations, that are occult. And if people really knew what was going on behind closed doors, they'd say, what am I involved in? Even though that they may be all going out feeding and clothing and sheltering and doing deeds and looking real good out in public. But, you know, the Lord said, be careful, because there are many who will go out and there'll be false prophets. And they'll look good on the outside, even claiming to be Christians and even claiming that Jesus came in the flesh. All right? Because demons lie. And but inside there'll be ravenous wolves. And they're trying to sway the people the wrong way. They're associated with the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of error. And they begin to twist the word, and they begin to try to, and Jesus warned us that many would come with the same gospel, but be preaching another Jesus. And that's occultism, because it's the spirit of error. And people don't even realize it. And they may be a righteous minister and not realize that they're involved in occultism because of the deception. Remember, Satan's greatest weapon is deception, and his power is fear, right? So many times we walk in an arena of fear where we're afraid of failure, fear of pleasing man, fear of not pleasing man, fear of not completing something, fear of going back and doing drugs again. And so there's a lot of, the devil likes to bring fear. Now there's a difference of respect and a difference of fear. Amen? We need to respect the devil and his power, because he's no fool. Amen? Because, you know, if you give him an open door, I mean, he'll eat you right up and spit you right out. He'll use you for a welcome mat for the kingdom of God. I mean, the kingdom of darkness. Amen? But God will use us for the kingdom of God. So, in this, in what we're talking through about this process, there's three major things that we must always remember. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he's talking about the representation of the way of expressing repentance because of the cross, the truth representation of that we must denounce or renounce our associations with the power of darkness and come out of agreement. Because the purpose Jesus descended into the depths of hell was to defeat the powers of darkness. So as you and I renounce these things and break the power of darkness off of us, then we're able to receive. Amen? The problem is everybody's trying to receive without doing repentance and renouncing. Then they get frustrated why they haven't received. And then the devil says, well, you're doing all the right things. I just don't get it. Amen? Well, you're doing all the right things. What's the problem? Hello? But the problem is we haven't really gone through those processes. Amen? We haven't gone through it all. So you're not going to get until you go through. God said, draw near to me, then I'll draw near to you. If you do this, I'll do that. So there is a process. Some people might call them formulas, but it's God's process. That's why he's known as the way, the truth, and the life. Amen? And we're going to talk a little bit about occultism tonight. And in fact, occultism is I'm going to share a little definition that was put in my spirit. It's a practice of magic, mystic arts, astrology, hidden and or secret myths of darkness, worship of creation. Occultism is worship of creation. Now let me share something with you. When something is not, you know, people go, well, you know, they talk about certain programs and whatever, this, that, and whatever. If Jesus is not exalted, it's a cult. Jesus is not the center, he is the head. Has everybody got it? I've been involved in places and so forth. Well, Jesus is the center. No, he's got to be the head. Amen? That means that people are working around Jesus instead of Jesus working through them. The word believe means to follow. Right? That means that we must follow the Lord. He's not the center of everything. He is the head of everything. Amen? And there is a difference. Is everybody with me? So occultism, actually, in its simple definition, is a worship of creation instead of creator. Hallelujah. Turn to Ephesians 6, please. And verse 10. The worship of creation instead of creator. Hey, let me share this with you. Everybody say that. I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
With human experiences.
With human experiences.
Everybody got it? Why? You're a new creation, aren't you? The world is human. They worship creation. We're not human anymore. We're new creations in Christ. The only thing we're just waiting for is our new suit. Right? It's in the cleaners. Praise God. We're getting a glorified suit coming. Hallelujah. So how many are human? Amen. I am a new creation. I am spirit with human experiences. See, we used to be humans with experiences of darkness. Now we're spirits, right, with human experiences because we are now no longer from this earth. We are from God, the throne room of God, right? Our blood now runs from the throne room of God. Now the devil will try and, you know, stop it and try and get you caught up in things where you... You know, you get into these things and I say, hi, my name is such and such, and I'm still accursed, you know. I'm this, that, and whatever. Because they don't understand the spiritual arenas, do they? You know, you got to understand at one time, even the 12-step program, it was originated because a man had an encounter with the Lord. That's how it originated. Then, just like the, what's it, the ACLU or whatever that is, American Civil Liberties Union, which is, you know, 40 years ago, if that was around, they would have thrown it out of the country saying it was a cult or a communist. But now they have free reign because some of their servants are actually Supreme Court judges. You know, I mean, they're not going by the law anymore. They're twisting the law. There's a difference. And that's what that one judge was standing up against about taking the Ten Commandments out. He said, man, that is illegal what they're doing. And if you really go back into history, there is no separation between church and state. But anyways, we can get into that all night. So, you know, there is so much deception around, you know, and it's getting worse, isn't it? I mean, think about when, you know, when we were younger. Think about how it was 10 years ago. And think of what's going on right now and how much more corrupt, how much more people are calling evil good. And that our people are calling good evil now. You know, I mean, it's really going to come to a climax and a head soon to where something's going to have to happen. We're going to have to leave.
Amen.
We're going to have to leave. Daddy's going to say, that's it. Out. And judgment will come. And remember, judgment and tribulation and judgment is a representation of last call. Last call. Before hell. And some people already give up to go to hell. Amen. And Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Would you read it with me? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Hallelujah. You know what that means? Don't worship creation. Don't worship God. Be strong. He who trusts in man is cursed, and he who trusts in the Lord is blessed. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Wiles means what?
Trickery.
For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Oh, here we go again. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That's who you're fighting. Can't fight what you can't see, right? Hallelujah. That's who we're fighting. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. In verse 1, would you read it with me? Now the Spirit, what Spirit does that say?
Holy Spirit.
Now the Holy Spirit The Holy Spirit expressly says in the latter times. Are we in the latter times?
Yes.
Amen. Some will depart from the faith. Is that a believer? Amen. Says, man, some believers are going to depart from the faith. They're going to stop following Jesus. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. That's powerful. These spirits are going to actually convince them and give them a doctrine. You know, who was it? Who's the evolutionary guy?
Darwin.
Darwin was a believer. He was a Bible thumper. And he took heed of a deceiving spirit. That deceiving spirit convinced him about evolution. He laid down his Bible and began to teach about evolution. You know how many people laid down their Bibles and began to follow evolution? You know how much blood was on that man's hands? Much. He isn't happy now. He took heed of a deceiving spirit, got a doctrine of a demon, and he began to preach the doctrines of demons. Has everybody got it? That's deception, isn't it? That's the Antichrist. It's preaching lies, isn't it? It was leading people astray. He was out to prove something himself. His revelation didn't come from above, it came from beneath. Right? And it damaged many people. It damaged the body of Christ tremendously. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 2 to 4. Is everybody there? Read it with me. For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin. But I fear lest somehow, as a serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness. Isn't that power? He's deceived her by his craftiness. How many of us were deceived by craftiness? You can lift your feet up too, right? So your minds, where did you deceive her? In the mind, right? May be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, so what you're going to hear can cause you to receive another spirit. Remember? Hearing, taking heed to doctrines, deceiving spirits, and doctrines of demons. So Paul warned us. He said, listen, for if he who comes preaches another Jesus, in other words, you're going to be preaching the same gospel, but another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, you may receive a different spirit. What you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. Amen? So we don't want to accept these things, right? Sometimes we just have to put up with certain things, don't we? You got to throw the bones out. Throw the bones out and eat the meat. Amen? You got to throw the bones out and eat the meat. Praise God. Go to verse 13. Read it with me, please. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. So we see now that there are even righteous ministers that have no idea that deceiving spirits are using them. Does everybody understand that? So are they involved in the occult willingly? No, but unwillingly. Do you understand that? Because if you're not expressing what the Spirit wants to express, then you're expressing another spirit, aren't you? Has everybody got it? That's where you have to be careful about familiar and deceiving, seducing spirits. And I've shared this testimony before, and I'll share it again tonight, that one time I was at a prophetic meeting, and there was a husband and wife there, and they were going to preach the next day, and they were sitting at one of our tables, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon the wife, and she began to prophesy to my wife. And I knew it was God. I just knew in my spirit it was the Lord. And he grabbed my hand, and he began to pray in the Spirit, and I saw a white being, like a white body, about 15, 20 feet behind him, just begin to walk up and bend over to him and speak in his ear. And I thought, man, that doesn't look like no angel. And I heard the Lord say to me, do you want a word from me or from this familiar spirit? I thought, well, from you, Lord, what do? He said, bind it. So I turned my head away from the man and I started binding that familiar spirit. And as I bound that familiar spirit, he said to me, he couldn't understand what was going on. It was like he lost the voice of God. And he said, squeeze my hand tighter. And I thought, what's that got to do with anything? So I didn't squeeze his hand tighter. I was basically wanting to let go now. But the Lord gave me a powerful revelation about these familiar spirits. And we have a wonderful teaching called mixed anointing, and you've got to be careful. Because remember, in you is one voice. It's your responsibility to discern what's of God or not. Man expresses, God impresses. Does everybody understand it? Now, we're made of three parts, right? Your spirit communes with the spirit world. Not just with God. Communes with the spirit world. And your soul interprets what the spirit world is saying. And then your body does the work. You can cause your tongue to speak or whatever, right? So you've got to be careful who you're listening to. That's why it takes practice, doesn't it? That's why the first gift God gives us is tongues, so you can't mess it up. Amen? He doesn't allow people just to fly out in prophecy. There are people who are always trying to give prophecy. I don't get near them. I got a word from you. Good, keep it. My Father can give me the word right in my own prayer time. I remember one day the Lord said to me, I want you to go to this prophetic thing. See this prophet. I said, why? I can hear right from you. He said, because I want you to see some things. I want you to get confirmation. I want you to understand about the prophets. So I said, okay. So I went to this prophetic meeting, and this prophet called me right out, and he said this and this, and I was like, okay, I know. I mean, I already knew it. He just gave me confirmation. Most of the time, prophecies will give you confirmation, won't they? Amen. But you got to be careful, because the devil can give you confirmation too. There's got to be a witness in your spirit. Remember, he's a deceiving, seducing spirit. You know how many people are bound by religion in the body of Christ who can pray in tongues? They're bound by religion. Religion is a representation of works. They get bound by the letter, and the word is known as the tutor, but the spirit is known as the mentor. Then they begin to judge and criticize. Let me tell you, that spirit of religion wants to come on everybody. He causes laziness. He causes self-righteousness. Let me share something with you. He begins to tell you you're doing all right and begins to sway you out of God's perfect will. And he puts the worldly things in front of you. And you begin to go after them more than you do God. Now you're willing to serve money instead of the Lord. That's a religious spirit. Is everybody with me? I mean, you got to understand, the Word tells us that we've got to be careful because the desires and the lusts of the world, what? Choke us, don't they? They choke us. So many times God has us in position, and that deceiving, seducing spirit will come, and the next thing, you know, believe me, the devil loves to bless you too, you know. How many rock stars, you know, are blessed? They're blessed by the devil, aren't they? But they're so tormented, aren't they? They're tormented. Let me share something with you. When there is a little bit of torment whatsoever, if you're worried about your job, if you're worried about your family, if you're worried, that's torment, isn't it? If there's not peace there, and you're so worried about keeping things up and trying to do this and trying to do that, you begin to do it in your own strength. Remember, God will never give you any more than you can handle, right? You got to be careful. God will never interrupt himself. Never. He's got a love. He's got a peace. He's a supplier of all of our needs according to his riches and glory and far above all we could ever ask or think. But the devil likes a counterfeit God, doesn't he? He's the counterfeiter. And he loves the counterfeit. I see so many people go astray by money, by women. Oh, it's God. I mean, believe me, that's why God puts offices in the body of Christ, doesn't he? So that we can get confirmation. So let me share something else with you. Go to 1 Samuel 15 while we're talking on that. First Samuel chapter 15. You know, how many times have you started, you said, you cried out, and you said, oh, Lord, help me, right? He puts you in the place to get help, and you say, well, that's good, I'm done. I got what I need, see you later. And the next thing you know, you're out spitting bullets because you just swallowed so many hooks. They turn into bullets. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel chapter 15. Praise God. In verse 20. Let's see. Verse 19. Samuel said to Saul, now, why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. Oh, man, he partially obeyed, didn't he? And gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the Lord didn't tell him to bring back the king. And he didn't tell him to take the spoil. But the people took of the plunder sheep and oxen and the best of things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So he took back the best of the oxen and the sheep to make offerings to God. God wasn't interested in the offerings. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in the burnt offerings and sacrifices? What's the matter with you? How long have you been king? How many times do we have to keep going through this? You're supposed to be the king. God has given you the anointing of the Holy Spirit. You're supposed to submit and obey. When God sends you out to go do something, you do it. And that's that. Don't add to it and don't take from it. Just do it. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. That's occultism, isn't it? Amen? Does everybody see that? That's occultism. That's practicing occultism. Do you understand that rebellion towards God is submission towards the devil? But see, the devil loves to candy coat these things, doesn't he? He just says, well, you disobeyed, you're all right. Oh, God, forgive me. But you just associated with the kingdom of darkness. Does everybody understand that? For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being king. That's a position in office. Amen? We're supposed to be priests first and then warriors, which is a king. But you got to fulfill your priesthood, don't you? So rebellion is what? Witchcraft. So you're either submitting to God or you're submitting to the devil. Remember, he's not stupid. He is sly. He loves to get us incalled in occultism and not even realizing it. So, if you think about it, what was he doing? He was worshiping creation, wasn't he? He was worshiping himself. He was taking things in his own hand. But his intent was, well, look at, hey, I know the Lord what the Lord said. I know what the Lord said, but you know what? I can improve it, what God said. Like, I can improve it. Let's see, I can take this offerings and these sheep and we could probably sell them and feed more poor people and hello? And I can work more hours and make more money and I can do more things for the kingdom of God. But far be it that I should submit all the way to God Almighty. Oh, I forgot it's His ministry anyways. Oh, it's His business anyways, not mine. Hello? Rebellion is witchcraft. That means that the principalities have hit you with fiery darts, which is known as the voice of the stranger, and they're doing mind control with you. And they're using you as a puppy. And outwardly, you're looking good. But inwardly, your intentions are wrong. And God keeps trying to expose them to you and expose them to you and expose them to you so we can spit out the hook. Amen? Does everybody understand that? See, we keep, you know, we just think occultism is, you know, those who wear the mask and walk around with those crookedy knives and, you know, and the pentagrams and or whatever is, and all, and they wear black clothes and the satanic rituals. That's not just occultism. Occultism is also what you don't know. Amen? Every one of us in here has been in occultism and not even realizing it. Amen?
Amen.
Everybody all right?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Go to Galatians 3, 1 through 6. Would you read it with me? O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Hello, come on, say that again. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that should not obey the truth? Now, isn't that powerful? Who bewitched you? That means witchcraft, doesn't it? Amen. You know what they just did? The seducing spirits, deceiving spirits, the voice of the stranger, just bewitch someone. Bewitchment is to move someone out of truth or out of the spirit into darkness. That's bewitchment. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Are you now getting satisfaction of what you're doing instead of who you are? Does everybody understand that? And who your relationship is with. Are you getting more satisfaction in your relationships, friendships, your jobs? Have you been bewitched and moved out of the spirit into the flesh, thinking you're still in the spirit? Has everybody got it? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by hearing of faith? Oh, hallelujah. Just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Therefore, now know that only those who are of the faith are sons of Abraham. And we know that it's faith that pleases God. So we don't want to be bewitched and moved out of the spirit into the flesh for satisfaction. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Hold on. I'm just told to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Go to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Pull out those erasers. Praise God. Now I have to re-go through all of my notes too, you know. I mean, these scriptures that I have, they're just written on my paper. But they're not in order. Except for this one I don't even have. So now I got to go go over it all and find out so I can redo this again. Praise God. But it's well worth it, Daddy. It's well worth it. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. Read it with me. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of stature and the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So why did God place offices? To edify the body. Amen? When you don't know something, if you're uncertain of something, you go to the office to get confirmation. Now let me share something with you. Sometimes somebody may be wanting something so bad, just like Balaam, that God will say, go ahead. The course has got to run. You may want something so bad that God will let you have it. And you may think it's God. But it's not. God only warns us so many times. Amen? Then he lets you go. How many times did we get warnings before we were getting ready to do something? I mean, I'm telling you. You had trucks drive before you that said, just say no. And I mean, you had people calling you. Man, why are you calling me now? You know, why is this happening to me right now? You know, circumstances happening in your life. Maybe God is trying to show you something. Amen. Maybe he's trying to break into your heart and reveal something to you. Amen. Maybe he's trying to bring us humble. Maybe he's trying to prevent us from doing something stupid. Right? I mean, you know, he places some. Then after a period of time, he just says, go ahead. I mean, it's in the Word. It's the same thing that happened to Balaam, right? He said, go ahead. And look what happened to him. Now, Balaam was a soothsayer. Amen? He worked both sides. He could hear the voice of God, but he also could hear the voice of the strangers. He used the demons for his profit. But if you read about it, you'll see. Here was a man that was enticed by money. And he went to the Lord. He said, Lord, you mind if I take their money and curse Israel? What are you even doing hanging around with them? No. So he goes back and he tells the king's servants, says, nah, I can't do that. But you know, he contemplated in his heart. He really never let that seed go, did he? Never let it go. And the devil kept watering it and watering it. And then he got enticed more with more money, more treasures. Oh, man, can you imagine what you could do for the kingdom of God with all of this? He had no intentions of doing that. He had intentions of building himself up. And what did he do? He went to the Lord. The Lord said, go ahead. Then he had a donkey finally had to talk to him, right? Why? Because the angel of the Lord was there with a sword. Finally had to talk to him because he wasn't willing to listen. Sometimes God will let the course run. And that's what you don't want to get to. That's why God places offices in the body of Christ. Does everybody understand that? That's where you get your confirmation from. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go a little bit further. Why? So we don't get tossed to and fro. Many of you are here because you went to your pastor and he said, get some help.
That's right.
Amen? Many of you are here because you went to the office and you said, I'm willing to submit. I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And your pastor called and said, listen, I got a one of my servants and so forth needs help. Do you have room for him? We make room. If we have to pull out a cot, if it's God's will, we'll make room. If we have to build an extra bed, we will. Hallelujah. Because if it's God's will, we'll do it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'll go to 2 Thessalonians. Praise God. 2 Thessalonians. Oh, hallelujah. So are you getting a little bit more of the understanding of occultism? It's just not something that you think people are doing, sacrificing animals and people. Occultism is the kingdom of darkness. People are doing it and involved in it and don't even know it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I'm sorry. Oh, praise God. And verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Would you read it with me? Let no one deceive you by any means, for the day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself to that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. That's when the rapture will be done. Because he who is restraining is the body of Christ. It's holding back the powers of darkness right now. Once you and I are out of here, darkness is going to go rampant. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they shall believe the lie, and that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. He's called the lawless one. I want to show you something very powerful. Go to Matthew 7. Now, we know that he is the head of the occultism, right? And he likes to do signs and wonders that are trickery. Hallelujah. Matthew 7. In verse 20. Would you read it with me, please? Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. First you've got to look at your own fruits, right? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Now, if somebody's going to the Lord going, Lord, Lord, that means that they were believers. Hello? And it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not what? Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. Now, wait a minute. Isn't that what he was just talking about is the lawless one? So there are, listen, God can still use anyone, can't he? He can use a heathen, an unbeliever, and a sinner to rescue a soul. Has everybody got it? But everybody must work out their own salvation. Everybody. Now here are believers that have prophesied, they've cast out devils, and they've done wonders in his name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice what? Lawlessness. What were they associated with? Occultism. Why? Because they practice lawlessness. They were utilizing the gifts and the things of God. They were believers, but behind closed doors, they were practicing lawlessness. Does everybody understand that? Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to be a wise man who built his house on the rock. Wow. So there's a difference. There are people utilizing things, and let me share with you, the gifts won't last forever, somebody who's practicing lawlessness. Eventually, they won't be able to take it. You understand that? You know, you think about how long can somebody be using drugs and go out and preach? They can't do it too long. I've seen it happen. I've seen guys that will go out and use drugs and go out and preach to justify their using, because they're trying to do the works and pleasing God, because they couldn't receive His love without works. Amen. And it brought them in bondage. So you see, they were practicing, weren't they? They were actually worshiping or serving darkness. Some of them were worshiping creation instead of worshiping the Lord. Some were associated with those familiar spirits. Remember, we just shared that even Satan himself comes as an angel of light, right? And is a righteous minister. Whoa. You know, there's going to be a lot of surprised people when they get before the Lord, thinking that they were doing the right things. But they really weren't. That's the difference between religion and relationship, isn't it? That's why nothing can get between you and God. Revelation 13. Revelation 13. See, you're not to judge by the gifts, are you? You don't judge by how much wealth someone has. You judge them by their fruits. I have been involved with people who have been wealthy, claim to be believers. Shoo. Disgusting. Foul mouth, huffers of drugs, huffers of cigarettes, children running rampant, parties going on, and they want to serve the kingdom of God. Repent, man, and come out of serving the devil, and you'll be able to serve God. You know, you can't serve God without getting cleaned up yourself. Right?
That's right.
Hallelujah. I've seen all kinds of stuff, man, let me tell you. Revelation 13 and something. Let's see here. 11. Then I saw another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. Hello? I run into them daily. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, trying to imitate Elijah. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their head, on their right hand and on their foreheads, to receive a mark on their right hand and their forehead, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the beast or the number of his name. Now let me share something with you spiritually. The mark on the forehead and on the right hand is the thoughts and the works. In other words, when you and I were out there serving Satan, we were marked. Our thoughts were constantly trying to worship Satan and not even know it. When you and I were out there using, where were your thoughts at? Constantly using. What about people with lusting? Right? Where's your works? I mean, and then what are they doing? They're using their hands to do the works, aren't they? So there, you and I were marked when we were out there already serving Satan. Does everybody understand that? 666 is a representation of man. That's all it is, a representation of man. But we know that it's a representation of man economy, man government, and man religion. Those three areas is what's going to happen. Okay? Hallelujah. So we see that he deceived. He was the lawless one who was deceiving. Go to Acts 16. So thinking and serving is where he's going to get you, isn't he? Acts chapter 16, and I think it's verse 16. Now while Paul waited for the other disciples at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers. I'm in the wrong place, aren't I? Sorry. I wonder why you guys are acting funny. It didn't sound right. I'm thinking, where am I in? Acts 16, 16. Is everybody there now? Hallelujah. Acts 16, 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us, who brought her master as much profit by fortune telling. Think she was serving in occultism? Amen. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now they were even boasting about that these servants were proclaiming the way of salvation. And this she did for many days. Believe me, when it's not the Holy Ghost, there's irritation. There's irritation. I can sense in my spirit when somebody gets even near me sometimes that familiar divination spirit which brings irritation to my spirit. I know it right off the bat. Now, I don't go to the person and say, "Man, you got a demon." No. I just let God handle it until it's time. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. And when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Oh, believe me, when you start doing the works of God, those religious demons are going to grab hold of you. They're going to come against the move of the Spirit. They're going to try and convince you that tongues is done and over with and gone. They're going to try and convince you that you can't cast out demons no more. Hello? And they're shaking inside. Oh, what if they find out about the demons I have? Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So she was associated with a divination spirit or a familiar spirit. And what he does is portrayed to be the Holy Spirit. He's a counterfeit. And you've got to be careful. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's go a little further. A divination spirit also obtains a secret knowledge of the future. It's a pagan counterfeit of prophecy. They're known as familiar spirits. So many people are chasing prophecy. They're chasing words. They go from one church to another, from service to service. "I need a word, I need a word, I need a word. I got a word for you. Repent." Repent. I get people call me something. "You got a word for me?" Yeah. Repent. Renounce and receive. What big word? What bigger word do you need? You got the. "But I'm looking for a word." Well, praise God. Pray in the Holy Ghost for about a few days. Hallelujah. One of the things that we come across is, let's go to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Bless you, Lord. Bless you. You know, many people get involved in angel worship. They get involved in angel worship. You know, they have that New Age movement. There's a woman named Clara Prophet. And many of these religious organizations, people don't understand Mormonism is a cult. You know. It's a cult. You know. Same thing with the Masons. It's all a cult, man. Anything that does not exalt Jesus Christ and express them as God is a cult. Does everybody understand it? If they don't accept Jesus Christ as being God, it's a cult.
Amen.
Amen? Because the Bible says that he was manifested in the flesh. He came from heaven to earth to show the way.
Amen.
Right? I remember they used to try and throw me out of the 12-step meetings. I used to go there and they'd come around to me and I'd say, "Hi, my name's Guy and I'm free." Or sometimes I wouldn't say anything. I'd just say, "Hi, my name's Guy." But I wouldn't do it. And they would be waiting for me to say, "You're an addict." And I wouldn't say it. And they'd look at me. And they'd start sharing things. And I'd finally have to step in and say, I'd tell them about Christ. I'd first start telling them about Bill Wilson, who had an encounter with the Lord. The chairperson would start freaking out because he didn't even know it. And how God freed him. And in the meetings, they used to have clergy people. And they would pray for one another. Some of these clergymen would cast devils out of them. Now they worship light bulbs and doorknobs. Hallelujah. It's a cult! It's been turned over now. It's now a cult. It's no longer Christ-like. It's a cult. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery." The word sorcery here represents pharmakia, or pharmakos, which the word pharmacy comes from. It means black magic, witchcraft, and sorcery. It means drugs. It means deception, because that's what drugs do. They bring deception, don't they? Amen. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, which is associated with the spirit of error. Envy, murders, drunkenness. Wow. Alcohol. Revelries, and the like of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also tell you in time past, that those who what? Practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me tell you, who you serve when you die is where you go. Hello? So we see that drugs and alcohol play a major part in occultism, don't they? Think about how many times you're on your knees looking for that piece of stuff and you end up smoking half the tile in the house. Hello? Oh, it was real fun, wasn't it? We went through great lengths to get the dope. And once we did the hit, everybody was paranoid. Right? And we're going, "They're out there." And God's going, "No, they're in you." Yeah. Nobody's out there. They're in you. And you drive by the bars and it says, "Food and spirits," and it should have been "Food and demons." Right? Oh, hallelujah. Occultism. Touching unclean things. Those are called accursed items. People wearing accursed items, they don't even understand. You know how many believers are still struggling with sicknesses and diseases and all kinds of things because they're still wearing accursed items. They still wear the old cursed Italian horn. They still wear this thing. I've counseled with a family, brought one of their kids in one time, said, "I don't know what to do with him. He's got a t-shirt on that says Tasmanian Devil." I said, "How about taking his shirt off?" And now they're promoting Pokemon, which means Pocket Monster, and all these other games. And let me tell you, there's nothing but more promotion. They just sold, what is that, Dragon Tales. And my daughter runs in and says, "Daddy, Dragon Tales is on TV." "Turn it off. I don't watch it, Dad." She's not allowed to watch it. She knows. Even on the kids' stations, there's nothing but magic on them. They always talk about monsters and so forth, and whatever. They're trying to impart fear. Impart fear. So we see the works of the flesh are evident of some association of the spirit realm. Amen? And drugs and alcohol is a big, big part of occultism. Big part. And Isaiah 28. Prescription medication. You know, people go hurt their back. They go to the doctor. The doctor loads them up with painkillers, you know. Next thing you know, they're no longer taking it for pain. They're taking it because they want peace. They get all nervous and messed up, and they go, oh, I think I'll just have some of this, and it'll give me peace. No, you just touch the cultism. Amen. Isaiah 28 and verse 7. But they also have erred through wine and through intoxicating drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through intoxicating drink. They are swallowed up by wine. They are out of the way through intoxicating drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filth. No place is clean. Woo. Hello? Looking for peace in the wrong places. I remember there was a ministry trying to promote drinking beer was okay. They went through great lengths and a lot of money. I knew the individual. He was out in left field. Actually, he was beyond the bleachers. But his house was disorder. He got a divorce. He inherited millions of dollars. And he was out there, man. I think he inherited $7 million from a death in his family. And some of it he gave away to good places, praise God. But then he started promoting beer, saying it was okay to drink. And it must have cost him a lot of money to put this brochure together. And it came to my house, and I sent him a letter back. I'm not going to go through what I said, but it was a rebuke, you know. And it was a promotion of drinking alcohol. Jesus never promoted drinking alcohol, you know. He didn't promote it. People have no understanding about what happened then and about how the yeast is already on the grape when they crush the grape. What they were originally doing was drinking juice. That was known as the good wine. When it fermented, most of the time they got rid of it. They didn't want to drink it. But some people did because they knew it got them buzzed because they were finding peace in the wrong places. Amen? That's why when Jesus was at the place and turned water into wine, the guy said to him, hey man, usually they give the good wine first, but you give the good wine last. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Proverbs 20. In verse 1, Proverbs 20. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is a brawler. And whoever is led astray by it is not wise. Amen? Go to Proverbs 23. You know, let me share something with you. Even the bartender is cursed. He's involved in, is considered a cult. The Bible says, woe to him who give someone a strong drink. Bartenders are cursed. Drug dealers are cursed, even though that they might not be using the drugs. They're worse than the one who's using it. They're in more trouble with God. Maybe not with the law, but with God. In Proverbs 23, verse 29, who has woe and who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long at the wine and those who go in search of mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Ooh. Hello. Does everybody see that? Your eyes will what? See strange things, and your heart will utter perverse things. Why? Because you've just associated with darkness. Those things are known as accursed items. Accursed item draws demonic activity. Everybody got it? People who smoke, they have a demon. It's real simple. It's the spirit of nicotine. It's an accursed item. What's it trying to do? Fulfill, isn't it? And what does God say? Who's trying to destroy his temple? God will destroy the temple for him, right? God will destroy him. Oh, hallelujah. Go to Habakkuk. In verse 15, chapter 2. It says, woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. Oh, man, you remember those days when you tried to get that girl drunk? Hello, let's get real. Or whatever, vice versa. I mean, people used to do strange things. Think about it. Everybody goes to the bar, they get drunk, they turn on the lights, and everybody looks like a demon. Ooh. You know, it's like, man, shut the lights off. You know? And then you wake up the next morning and rotten. Rotten. And that's supposed to be fun. And people talk about how wonderful their unrighteousness was. They boast in what they did. Man, you should have seen what happened last night. Whoa. Got drunk, got an accident, did this, did that. Got arrested. Hallelujah. But woe unto him who gives a strong drink, or gives a drink to his neighbor to look on their nakedness. Obviously, their intentions were not well. Go to Genesis 30. I want to show you something. Occultism. You know, those people, those accursed items, they hang up those, what are those, dream catchers or wind catchers, or they put them in their cars. One day I was driving down the road, and the Lord told me to stop at this place. And this guy hit out there, I mean, it must have been a 10-foot wind catcher or dream catcher. And he had all these little ones around it. And then I had the name of his church on his front lawn. And he said he was a Bible study teacher. I said, no wonder why the Lord had me stop here. And I shared with him what was what. He said he was going to check it with his pastor. I said, and you're a Bible study teacher? And verse 14, Genesis 30. Now, Reuben, went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother Leah. Does everybody see that? In Genesis 30, verse 14. 30, 14. Come on, I'll wait for you. Now Reuben went in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them to his mother. Then Rachel said to Leah, please give me some of your son's mandrakes. Now mandrakes are narcotic. Yeah, they were even dealing dope in the Bible. But she said to her, is it a small matter that you have taken away my husband? Would you take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he will lie with you tonight for your son's mandrakes. When Jacob came out of the field in the evening, Leah went out to meet him and said, you must come in to me, for I have surely hired you with my son's mandrakes. And they lay with her, and he lay with her that night. Does everybody understand that? It was a narcotic. She was trying to find peace in the wrong places. Hello. So that's even in the Bible. I mean, check that out. Mandrakes was a narcotic. Some of them looked at it as a magical type of feeling, because they didn't understand about narcotics then. Amen? So she hired out her husband for her son's mandrakes. Everybody got it? Amen. Go to Leviticus 19. I just wanted to show you that. Not that it's... Okay, don't tell me that dope is biblical then, okay? It's biblically wrong. I try to share people... You know, I mean, when we were in the world, we thought, well, if God made marijuana, you know, it should be all right to use. Well, if he made cocoa, plants, if we make poppy seeds and all this other stuff, it should be all right to use, right? I mean, if God made it, why can't we use it? Well, God made cliffs, right? And he didn't say jump off of them. Amen. Hello. Hallelujah. Leviticus 19 and verse 26. 19:26. Everybody there? You shall not eat anything with blood, nor shall you practice divination or soothsaying. In other words, you're not supposed to eat raw things. In fact, when you kill an animal, the blood's supposed to drip out, right? You know what the blood is in the meat that you eat in the stores? It's a preservative red dye. It's not even blood. You shall not shave around the sides of your head, nor shall you disfigure the edges of your beard. You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you. I am the Lord. You know, tattoos are a curse. Right? You need to break that curse. Do not prostitute your daughter to cause her to be a harlot, lest the land fall into harlotry and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord. And if a stranger dwells with you in the land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt, and I am the Lord your God. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, width, or volume. You shall have honest scales, honest weights, and honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe my statutes and all of my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. That's pretty powerful, huh? Those things are still in effect today. In other words, about tattooing. You know, you got to remember something. Who's the ruler of the world? Satan. And remember, he leads the trends, right? In the Old Testament, I've shared this before, that outward rebellion towards God was shaving your head and piercing yourself. It was outward rebellion towards God. And look what the trend is right now. Thank God he doesn't look at it the way we dress, amen? He looks at the heart. But that's what the trend is right now. I mean, people walking around with their butts showing out, have their pants halfway down their ankles, right? Amen? What is this happening? They're showing parts of their nakedness, aren't they? I mean, you go to the beach, it's rough. I mean, it's rough, you know? As a believer and trying to stay pure and clean, you got to be careful. You can't turn the TV on. The commercials are worse than the movies. You know, you may be watching something really good and wholesome, the commercial comes on, it's like, you got to repent. Cast that devil that just came in your house right out. You know? Things are not getting easy. They're getting worse. Go to Deuteronomy 18. I mean, those soap operas are no longer soap operas. They're porno flicks. In Deuteronomy 18:9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. Yow. Now, you remember when Saul got all upset because Samuel died, and he went to go see that soothsayer or medium, and she called up the spirit of Saul. It was an abomination, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let me share this with you. Necromancing is an abomination. Necromancing is praying to the dead. It is a sin. If you're still talking to your dead loved ones, you are opening yourself up to demonic activity. If you're still praying to Sister Mary, you have demons. Does everybody understand that? If you're still praying to Aunt Jenny, Uncle Ralphie, whatever, Grandma and Grandpa, if you're still speaking to them and praying for them while they're dead, you are opened yourself up to demonic activity. And you need to repent and break that. Well, I just don't believe that. That's why you are the way you are. You'll know them by their fruits. Hello? You know why? Let me share something with you. People who are still doing this and not repenting cannot get baptized in the Holy Ghost if they haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. They can't get healed and they can't get delivered. Has everybody got it? Until they finally come to that arena where they're willing to do whatever it takes and repent for these things of associating in the occult world, which is known as the kingdom of darkness. They struggle. And they wonder why God isn't moved on their behalf. Now, the rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Amen? But there are certain things that you and I must separate. The Bible says, come out from among them, right? And we'll talk about that in a minute. God is granting us an arena for repentance. You know, the word grace is a representation of a time period. We are in the age of grace. What it is God's holding back judgment. You know, we want the grace of God. That means the favor of God. Also, the grace represents co-laboring with God. There are three areas of grace. Go to Revelation 12. I'm going to be handing out sheets tonight of occultism. If you've ever been if you've ever been involved in any of these things that were handed out, or you may just want to confess them, the prayers are on here and everything. I want you to go before the Lord tonight. Repent for associating with these. Remember, you repent and you break it off, not only off of you, but your ancestors, because that's where they're coming down also, aren't they? Amen. You know, some of us who have been brought up in certain religions, some of us who have been, there's been things going on and involved in our household that we know, amen, that has never been, well, just because you knew about it and didn't do anything, you're associated with it. The blood is still on your hands. If you've been involved in an abortion, and I'm sharing these things because I don't know if they're on here, but the Holy Spirit just quickened me. If you got a girl pregnant and she chose to get an abortion, the blood is still on your hands. Okay? And if you've been born out of or conceived out of wedlock, curses on you or on your children. Amen? That's called a bastard curse. These things need to be... If you've got a tattoo, you need to lay hands on it or anoint it, break the power off, repent for it, repent for marking your body, and command that spirit to leave. Okay? Now some of you may be thinking, well, this is crazy. Well, you've tried everything else. This is how you get the spiritual roots. That's why deception is Satan's greatest weapon and fear is his power. Amen?
Amen.
In Revelation 12, in verse 7, and a war broke out in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was their place found with them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast out to the earth, and his angels were with him. And I heard a loud voice in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast out. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives till death. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'm going to close here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, some of us used to love watching those horror flicks. Fright Night. Remember Fright Night? Whoa, Frankenstein and all those guys. Wolfman and whatever. You open yourself to demonic activity. Amen? You need to repent for touching those things. Gangster movies. Now your gangsters, the gospel gangsters, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and I will dwell with them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore means if you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and do not what? Touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I'll be a father to you. You shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Amen. And that's what we want to get to, don't we? Amen. So in this sheet, I want you to go through it. If you've ever got involved in Scientology, horoscopes, or if you're still picking up horoscopes, if you go to a Chinese restaurant, do not read the cookie. You open yourself to a devil. Does everybody understand that? Let me tell you, the devil's not stupid. Jesus told his servants to be wise as a serpent and gentle as a dove, because he knows how wise a serpent is. Amen?
Amen.
I'm preaching in the jail and people are still reading their horoscopes. Hi, I'm a whatever, Gemini or... You are? I thought you were a Christian. Amen?
Amen.
If you've touched these things, Ouija boards, things of your past, and God is reminding you of certain things, repent for them and break that curse off and get out of that darkness and all that occultism. That's what it's about. Jesus came to expose darkness. Remember, addiction is a curse. It's associated with a spiritual root. Amen. Stop trying to manage addictions. Stop trying to manage sicknesses and diseases. Stop trying to manage your life. Surrender to God and let Him manage it. He says He bought us with a price. Well, listen, you're under warranty. Hello? Unless you break, if you do something wrong and break covenant with the warranty, then you're on your own. Hello? Everybody all right? I'm going to pass these out tonight. I want you to take them with you. Praise God. Hopefully I have enough. And let's pray. Father, we just come to you and we thank you, Lord. And Lord, as these men and women begin to break this and confess and break these off of their life, I ask that you move quickly on their behalf, Lord, severing them from the occult and from the kingdom of darkness and freeing them in every area of their life, Lord, as they make confession before you. I touch and agree with their confessions. You said, to touch and agree, it shall come to pass. We commit all things to you. And we ask, Holy Father, that you continue to fill us with your Spirit. And as we gather together tomorrow night, Lord, that complete deliverance will be manifested for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen,
amen and hallelujah.